Hey guys, I'd like to take the time to thank Phoenix Shooting Bags for sponsoring the show and helping me keep the podcast free. Go check out their website, phoenixshootingbags.com. And if you want to purchase anything, just type in John Stallone, all one word, no space in between my name, in the shopping cart coupon area, and you will save 20% on your order. It's pretty sweet. They're awesome bags. If you like shooting and you like long range shooting, they are a must. They've really improved my accuracy and really helped me out with my clients guiding. It's made my life a lot easier, helping guys get on deer, and it could do the same for you. So go and check them out, phoenixshootingbags.com, and let's roll into the next episode. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to talk about hunting deer in Montana. And I got Robert Hanneman on the phone with us from Hunting Fool. And we are going to kind of talk about the ins and outs of it, some of the stuff that you can expect, and talk about the draw a little bit. Let's get into some tactics, so on and so forth. How you doing today, Robert?
I'm doing really well. How you doing today, John?
Oh, not too bad. Just kind of rolling with the punches here. My kids have been off for a week already because the school's been on strike, and our teachers have been striking because of, you know, trying to get more funding for education and so on and so forth. So it's been a little rough week with having to figure out what to do with the kids for, you know, for the time being. But other than that, everything's good. Can't complain.
Yeah, that's good. How many kids you got now?
I have three.
Pretty darn. How old are they all?
I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah, I got my hands full. What about you?
I got three boys, and they're 12. 10 and 9.
Oh, okay. Cool. You had them fairly close together.
We did, yeah. We did not space them out like you did. I don't know if that was the smartest thing, but they're all going to be in high school at the same time, so it'll be quite comical.
Oh, yeah, right? For sure. Well, my two girls, Ella and Olivia, I mean, they're only 20 months apart, so they were really close. And I was kind of, in my head, I was done, you know? But my wife convinced me, and she's like, don't you want to have a boy? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But, you know, there's no guarantees. I actually I read this book called How to Choose the Sex of Your Child by Dr. Sheetles. And it basically takes your chances of choosing the sex of your child from 50-50 or whatever it is. I think it's 50-50. To like 78% chance. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take those odds. And yeah, I followed it, and we had a boy. So there's quite a bit of an age difference between them, but it's all right. It was a little bit of adjustment to go back to the whole diapers and whatever thing, you know, but he's a good kid, so he hasn't given us too much trouble.
Oh, that's good.
So, why don't you give us a quick rundown about yourself, and then we'll tackle some of these questions.
Perfect. So my name is Robert Hanneman. I work for the Hunt Bull magazine. I've worked there for the last 6+ years, and really enjoy it. Get to cover a lot of stuff, talk to a lot of people. You know, we cover over 20 different states in the Hunt and Fool magazine. I know you're a member of it, so you get our publication. Yep. And do a lot of consulting. So I've been living in Montana for the last 19 years. And before that, I was born and raised in Nevada. So I've been pretty lucky. I get to hunt more than I probably should. And I'm lucky. I get to cover, you know, 5 to 7 states every year and spend 100 to 150 days a year in the field. So no, I can't complain. I've got a great life, and I got three boys like we talked about, and the older two are at hunting age, the younger one is almost there, And they had a phenomenal season last year. And I think
Nice.
between the two of them, they killed two elk, a bear, two mule deer, a mountain goat, and an antelope. So
A
they,
mountain goat?
yeah, my 12-year-old drew a mountain goat tag in Washington last year.
Son of
Unbelievable.
a
Beat the odds.
gun,
And
man.
so yeah, it was a phenomenal year for a 12-year-old to come out of the gate and knock down five animals.
That's crazy. Oh my God. So in Washington, huh? That's
Yeah, long draw odds, but they got that youth program where it's super inexpensive for them to apply, and the odds were horrific, but for
yeah.
$3.80, threw his name in the hat.
Yeah. I don't want to get off the subject, but I want to ask this question. Is there, Washington has a point system for their goats
They
and
do.
sheep?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So
That's what I
Washington
thought.
has a point system just like most of the other states, and it was the conflict reduction hunt, which is one they started a few years ago, so there's not many people that have a lot of points because it's only been in existence a couple of years. And he got lucky. I think his draw odds were like 1 in 700, so it's kind of like shooting the moon and drawing a sheep tag, but he ended up with a goat tag.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, speaking of sheep, I just put the finishing touches from on my sheep film from my desert sheep here in Arizona, which I'm gonna release tomorrow.
Nice.
Which probably doesn't make sense when this podcast airs because it won't it'll already have been out for probably a month or so, but yeah. So.
Well, with the sheep draws coming up, Arizona releasing the regs, it's perfect timing to get guys excited about desert sheep.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope to get a sheep client this year. I have a couple of guys that contacted me that have a lot of points. Well, there's really no such thing as a lot of points when it comes to sheep. But they're right around 20 something points. So I told them to put in for matter of fact, a unit that I drew, because I thought they had a really good chance, but I don't know. I don't know what they're putting in for yet. But I gave them some suggestions. Hopefully, one of the two of them will draw, and I'll have a sheep client. We'll see.
Oh, that'll be
Get to go
fun.
sheep. Get to go sheep hunting. I have another guy too. That's I might be taking to Mexico, but. Any chance I get to go sheep hunting, I'll do it.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So, as you stated, I have you on today talk about deer in Montana. Let's talk about the draw a little bit on that first, and what the opportunities are. Excuse me.
So the draw for Montana takes place February 15th. That's where it's already passed for this year,
Right.
but they have the draw, and as a non-resident, you apply for the deer combination license or the big game combination with deer elk. So you apply for one of those two, and then at the exact same time, you can apply for the special draw tags, the
Right.
limited entry tags. So when the draw takes place, they do everybody's general tags first, and then everyone who's successful in drawing a general deer tag or combo tag then goes into the special draw if they elected to apply for that. And then if they get lucky and draw that tag, they get a permit that allows them to hunt that limited entry unit as well. So the draw odds, for just the deer combination, they fluctuate. We don't know what they were this year, but they're usually in that, I would say, 75 to 85% range usually. And then the deer and elk combo used to be pretty darn close to 100%. But I've talked to a lot of guys this year that did not draw that. So, as when it comes to limited entry units, there's not a lot of them in Montana. There's really three that produce, $180 on a regular basis. And those are in the Bitterroot Valley of Western Montana, 270, 261, and 262. Those are all like 1% draw odds, and there is a point system. The points are squared kind of like Nevada, and they're long draws, even for a resident. So when most people think of Montana, they think about the over-the-counter, well, not over-the-counter, but the general deer
The general
tags. It's
deer.
over-the-counter for residents. It's general deer, or you have to draw for non-residents, but they have an extremely long deer season, which makes it sought after by a lot of people. This year, the archery season runs September 1st through like the mid-October. You got 6 weeks to hunt with a bow, and then it turns around and starts, I believe it's the first sat or the third Saturday in October. So I think it's the 23rd or 24th this year, and then runs through the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So Montana hunts their mule deer completely through every aspect of the rut with a rifle. So you don't see a tremendous lot amount of big bucks taken unless you're on like private land that's really managed, or you get lucky and draw one of the limited entry tags. But for a fun rut hunt with kids, you know, buck strutting stupid, you know, for nice 4 points, you know, 140 to possibly 170 and a little bit better, there's a lot of really cool hunts in Montana for kids. You know, I took my oldest boy out this last year. It was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We went to Eastern Montana. A buddy of mine, Zach Bohay, had a tag. I had a tag, and my 12-year-old Connor still had his tag. And we killed three nice 4 points in one day, all on public land. You know, so it's definitely a fun state to hunt. It's getting a little bit more tricky to draw tags. If you are a non-resident and looking to hunt it in the future, I'd recommend in the summer buying a preference point, which will give you preference over everyone else who doesn't have it going into that general draw.
Cool. So now I remember, let's see, 2015, I did the deer elk combo and I drew a limited entry muley 380 tag. So I really honestly I didn't see any big mule deer bucks. And what I did see was really good whitetail deer, believe it or not. And I end up shooting a whitetail.
Well,
So,
that's the.
I'm trying to remember how it works, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is so some of these units that are limited entry for mule deer, you could still hunt whitetail with your general tag.
That is correct. So if you draw a general deer tag, you can hunt mule deer in roughly, I would say, 70% of the state. You know, there's some areas that are limited entry, there's some areas that are like an unlimited tag, like if you apply for it, you get it. Anytime you get a limited entry tag like you had, or an unlimited limited entry tag, you're only allowed to hunt mule deer in that unit. So pretty much by drawing that takes you out of hunting mule deer anywhere else in the state. When it comes to whitetail, there's one little unit in the state that is on a trophy draw for whitetail. And it's really a trophy draw for mule deer and whitetail. Other than that one little unit in the state, the rest of the state, so 99% of it, is over the counter for whitetail. When I say over the counter, your general tag is valid there. So you, with the general tag, you can hunt whitetail statewide, other than one little unit, you know, around it's over by Helena. There's one little unit there that you can't hunt in, and then the rest of the state's wide open. So, you know, with your tag that you drew in 2015, you were legally only allowed to take a mule deer in unit 380, but you could have took a whitetail essentially anywhere in the state.
Oh, so
So
I wasn't allowed to shoot. I actually didn't shoot the whitetail in 380. I shot it the adjacent unit anyway. I think it was 381. You know, it was at Winston, I think. Or,
yeah.
yeah.
And that's totally legal. You're allowed to hunt whitetail pretty much anywhere except for, like I said, it's that little unit. I believe it's around Holter Lake. And it's a small unit, and that's a tag draw for, you know, mule deer or whitetail. So pretty much, you know, most of Montana, you know, if you look in the regs, you'll see if it, you know, you can look through each state. Montana has pretty complicated regs, but each unit is broken down and it'll say general deer. And if it says, you know, mule deer, then it's a general one. And it'll say, usually it'll say either sex or either species deer, you know, buck only. So you can go down through the regs and that'll kind of knock out most of those ones that are on limited entry. But, you know, there's good bucks found throughout the state. You can hunt them in the rut. If you're looking for big bucks, you want to hunt, you know, some of the nasty country in western Montana, maybe up around Thompson Falls, Plains, Troy, Libby, you know, where there's still some nasty, you know, rough country where it can hold a buck, you know, up in the high country. Or you want to go eastern Montana and hunt some of the more broken stuff, you know, around, say, the Missouri breaks, you know, the deer numbers. They had a tough winter this year, so it's been some spotty die-off, but kind of over in eastern Montana, the Custer National Forest, you know, that country's still been holding some good bucks. Okay. Or if you can find, you know, a lot of eastern Montana's private land, and it's because it was part of that Homestead Act, you know, mm-hmm. way back in the day, the land rush. So a lot of stuff that you'd look at and you'd assume is BLM is really private land. And there's guys that own 100 sections of land over there, but there's state land and BLM kind of strung through a lot of it. Okay. And that's where, like, OnX maps, you know, the GPS chips and the phone app are key to hunting that country, because anytime a county road intersects a piece of state land or BLM land, even if it's surrounded by private, you can legally hunt that. So, nice. You know, if you can find those giant private ranches that are maybe leased by an outfitter and, you know, are managing for bigger bucks, and you can hunt the fringes of them or BLM or state chunks throughout them that have access, then, you know, you can usually turn up a good buck in that country. And during the rut in November, you know, that kind of 13th through the 18th of November is mm-hmm. kind of the key rut dates that I've found for eastern Montana. You know, those bucks are traveling so much that a lot of times they do move off private onto places you can't.
Right.
And, you know, it's definitely hunting with a GPS and a phone in your hand, but, you know, you're getting to hunt through the peak of the rut, which is, you know, most guys would die for a Colorado four season tag because of the rut dates.
Right. But, right.
You know, Montana, you can hunt that every year you draw the tag.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's when I was there. I was actually there, just prior to Thanksgiving. I saw quite a bit of rutting activity. I just could not find a mature muley in 380. So I kind of switched gears because I couldn't. I had the elk and deer combo. I couldn't shoot an elk in 380 because that's a limited draw. So I had to move over to the adjacent unit. So I started chasing or looking for elk. Found some cows and stuff. And then I started seeing some nice whitetail. And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to shoot a whitetail.
Yeah, okay. And you got to remember, when you have almost unlimited tags and you're hunting them with a high-powered rifle through the rut, it's hard to get age class.
Yeah.
To get age class, you need to find more broken, nasty country or, you know, private land stuff that you can grow bigger bucks. Like, Montana doesn't manage for trophy deer. You know, they just manage for opportunity. Right. So by doing that, the only way you're going to find trophy deer is you find a deer that, A, is in land that can't be hunted, that might wander off, or really rough country. So that's kind of, Montana's by no means a trophy hunting deer state. It's more just come here, have fun. Everybody can have a deer tag and, you know, shoot a couple nice bucks.
So let me ask you this. If you were wanting to get a, you know, better age class, better, you know, older deer, bigger deer, when would be the best time to come? Would it be that early season and try to chase them in velvet up in the high country with the bow, or is it still that rut?
I would say it's still the rut. Okay. I mean, because there's the deer densities are so much lower on the western side of the state due to predation, mm-hmm. not as good habitat, thick timbered country, that, you know, the deer numbers in eastern Montana are way higher than the deer numbers kind of in the western mountain region of Montana. So it's a numbers game. I would come out in the rut and I would, you know, try to hunt country that, you know, doesn't have as great access and try to find a buck that's, you know, 5+ years of age. Right. You know, last year or this last winter was pretty significant. There was a major die-off that happened in 2010-11 in eastern Montana and really crippled the deer numbers and the antelope numbers. You know, and they eliminated all doe tags pretty much in eastern Montana for a few years to try to rebound the population. Okay. Population was rebounding really well the last couple of years. And then this last winter, 2018 winter, we got hit with a pretty nasty winter as well. And, you know, we're still getting reports right now. I've talked to, you know, some guys that live out there, some ranchers, some hunters, some outfitters. And there's been significant die-off in certain areas. It's pretty spotty. You know, we don't know about it yet. There's still snow melting out there in May. But it sounds like, you know, there's some areas that the antelope really got killed. And, you know, sounds like, you know, some of that country around the breaks and, you know, through Jordan and up north towards like Glasgow and stuff, you know, there was some significant die-off in that country as well. So,
wow.
I know that there was a couple big snowstorms that hit, and like, you know, they declared a natural disaster and they had to go and plow a couple towns out.
Unreal.
But until the spring, you know, really thaws and guys get out there and we realize the full extent of the die-off, it's hard to tell. So as of right now, the best we can say is it's been spotty, but there has been winter kill in eastern Montana for the 2017-18 winter for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was like, yeah, it's snowing here. This was like a week ago. I'm like, yeah. Dude. I'm like, it's almost 100 degrees here in Arizona. You guys are getting snow. It's unreal. Yeah.
Oh, I talked to a rancher out in Jordan, Montana, and he's been there for 40 years, and it's the most snow he'd ever seen on his ranch. So, yeah, the elk do really well, but they never winter kill. You can't kill elk. Going kills elks, wolves. You know, the deer and antelope, I don't know. I'm very curious to see once I, you know, hear kind of how the eastern Montana did, because it was finally coming back. I mean, pre that die-off, you know, in 2010-11, there was some great deer coming out of eastern Montana. When I say great deer, lots of 160, 170 deer most guys are real happy with.
Right.
And then after the die-off, I mean, there was parks that had 80% die-off, you know, out of that winter kill, and they just finally came back and then got hit again. So I don't know. I'm definitely very curious to see how they fared. Sounds like the whitetail did better because, you know, they'll go and live in people's yards and haystacks and stuff like that. But
yeah,
like there was some definite, you know, antelope and mule deer winter kill for sure.
Yeah, antelope seemed to really get affected by that. I noticed that my buddy has like, I don't know, freaking 200,000 acres or something ridiculous like that in western South Dakota. And they had a really bad, this is going back probably in 2006, 2007, something like that. And he said that the antelope really just like, they were finding them, you know, dead, frozen all over the place because they couldn't get through the deep, you know, snow drifts and whatnot. They couldn't get to their food sources, and it was pretty bad.
Well, and I think another problem we had last year was there was a couple significant fires, you know, that almost went 300,000 acres in a lot of that country. And then, you know, you didn't have a bunch of good feed going into the winter. I mean, it was such a hot, you know, drought year that, you know, we had significant fires. So even that the deer that were breaking through the crust of the snow, there wasn't really good feed underneath that snow. So I think that combined right. with the amount of snow and everything else, like you said, antelope are the first ones to go, but mule deer usually aren't very far behind them. So I don't know. Hopefully, you know, the Montana biologists will come out with some information here shortly, but even talking to them, they kind of don't know. They're waiting on a lot of their spring counts and spring surveys, but everybody's kind of holding their breath to see, you know, how significant or insignificant this winter kill was.
Yeah. So if a guy wanted to, well, let me back up here, because you kind of answered some of the questions already that I wanted to ask you. Let me back up to the whitetail and the mule deer thing. You could still only take one deer a year, so you can't come there and shoot a whitetail on a general. And if you had a, like I had my situation, I couldn't shoot a muley in 380 and then shoot a whitetail in a different unit, right?
No, so you have your license and you get your tag when you draw. What you drew in 380 was a permit, so it's not a tag. Okay. It's just a permit that says you can hunt there, so you still only have one tag. Okay. You're only allowed to shoot one antler deer a year. There are tons of doe tag opportunities scattered throughout the state for whitetail or mule deer. You know, and they're based on different regions. A lot of those are over the counter, even to non-residents. So, you know, and there is a few areas in the state where you could shoot a second buck, but they're usually archery hunts and they're, you know, pretty restricted areas where they're just trying to manage the populations and not so much trophy quality. But for the most part, you're allowed one deer tag a year in the state of Montana. You know, the nice thing about Montana is the age limit is 10 years of age. Like if you with the year you drew, 380, or you drew your combination tag, non-residents have to apply for their tags. And if you draw a combination deer tag or a big game combo like you did, and you have a kid that's, 10 years or older, you can just go to Montana and buy them a permit. So they're unlimited. You don't have to draw. As long as the parent draws the tag, you can pick your kids up tags. They're a reduced price. They're about half the price of a non-resident big game combo. I think they run around $500, but that'll get that youth a deer tag and an elk tag.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
yeah. Nice. So gives kids an opportunity to come out and hunt. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the mule deer numbers and the whitetail numbers, mule deer numbers are a little bit higher than the whitetail numbers. I mean, we'll see after this year, but there's a significant amount of whitetail, in the state of Montana, but most of the whitetail are found on the western side. As you get into the mountainous country, there's tons of whitetail in there. As you get into the eastern country, anywhere where there's agriculture or river bottoms, like the Milk River's historically known for giant whitetail. So any of those river systems, the Missouri River, the Yellowstone River, they do hold some really good whitetail populations. But once you get away from the agriculture or away from the river bottoms, usually don't see as many whitetails. You get more into mule deer country, where in east or western Montana, you can see mule deer just up as high in the mountains as you do mule deer.
Right. That's crazy.
It is. No, it's neat because you get to go hunting and you got either deer tag in your pocket, and if you're going to come to Montana, we recommend everybody that's going to be hunting western Montana, drop an extra $50 and put a wolf tag in your pocket. Because, if you're out there hunting and you do stumble upon a wolf, I mean, that's one of the best trophies out there is to shoot a wolf.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely something I'd like to do. Yeah, I think you said it without saying it, but Montana is kind of not a sleeper state, but not really known so much for whitetail as you would think. But there's some giants out there. My buddy that actually invited me to go out and hunt with him, he's from there, and he shot a 192 whitetail. He's killed a couple that were over 170 too. So it's just like, yeah, there's some really good whitetail opportunity out there. I've seen some really good mule deer bucks come out of some of the general units that he was showing me pictures of. So there's still very good opportunity as well. And I think for somebody who just likes to get out and hunt and, just enjoys the fact that he's got a menu of different things that he can hunt at the same time. Or she can hunt at the same time. I think that's, it's great. I love going to places where I know I'm like, oh, if I see this, I can shoot this. Or if I see that, I can shoot that. It's kind of like sometimes it takes away from the experience a little bit, meaning you can't focus on one thing because there's too much going on. But at the same time, it's nice to just have opportunity.
Well, I mean, Montana is an opportunity state, and with mule deer and whitetail, if you're a trophy hunter, you definitely have a better chance of killing a trophy whitetail than a mule deer. But there's a lot of people are super happy with a 24 to 26 inch 160 mule deer in, Montana. That's very doable if you're willing to spend some time and hunt the rut. One of the things that I think is most attractive about Montana to Western hunters is the season dates. I mean, essentially 1st of September through almost the 1st of December, you could come and hunt here. So, it's an earlier draw. You have to put in for it by, essentially February 15th. And then, all the rest of your draws kind of come a few before that, but most of them after that. It's a good tag to just kind of have in your pocket as a backup in case you don't draw a lot of the tags you want. And if you did draw the Montana tag, and let's just say that combination tag for the deer and elk like you drew in 2015, and then you drew Nevada and Arizona and Utah and you drew all these great tags, Montana is really good. They allow you to turn your combination license back in by the 1st of August, and they'll still give you an 80% refund. you're not getting all your money back, but you kind of had a backup in your
Right,
pocket in
right.
case, you didn't draw a bunch of other tags. And any tags that are left over, they'll go on sale, like the deer combination and the big game combination sold out in the draw. But there was a bunch of just elk opportunity or elk combination licenses left, and those will go on sale, after the fact. So I don't know, for someone that, isn't sure what they want to do but wants to make sure they have a hunt, I think Montana is a great opportunity. It's, one of the only states that allows you to hunt every phase of the rut with a rifle.
Right.
I mean, for
Now,
kids or new hunters, always fun to see tons of deer, running hard and, not, most guys are used to hunting them early and they're in the timber and it's hot. You're hunting them peak of the rut, so it doesn't get much more fun than that.
yeah, no, it was cool. It's definitely, it's only the second time I've ever had a rifle in my hand during the rut for mule deer. And it's just different. You don't get to, usually I'm chasing them during a rut here in Arizona with a bow, but I've never had that opportunity. Well, not never, now it's like I said, two times, but
You feel like you're breaking the law. You're like, I can
yeah,
shoot this out of any
it's
label.
definitely different.
Yeah.
No, my brain is, sorry, my brain's a little off this morning. I didn't get barely got any sleep last night. I You had mentioned something, and I wanted to ask you a question. So you started saying about the tags that get turned back in. You said then they re-release them at a certain date, and that's not a specified date. It's just
Yeah, so
whatever
after
it is, it is.
the results come out, people that put in for, say, the big game combo, like the one you drew, and didn't draw, a lot of guys, like I talked about, they can turn their tag back in by August 1st. Those tags, they'll reissue. So essentially what they'll do is they'll have a guy like you put in, you didn't draw, you can be put on the reissue list. And then they'll essentially do a draw, number those guys one to whatever. And then as tags get turned in, they'll call and say, "Hey, would you like this tag? Would you like this tag?" So it is really only for the guys that already applied when it comes to the deer and the combo. The elk tags, we talked to them the other day and, they haven't went on sale yet. And there was over 700. So there's over 700 just elk tags that are left that will go on sale.
Oh, cool.
But the combination licenses will be reissued, the big game combos. So, yeah, it's Montana's definitely getting more interest, and it's getting tougher to draw tags. When I say tougher, they're still great odds, probably the best odds in the West. But, years ago, they used to be like 100% draw. So
Right.
when I say they're getting tougher, there's, I've talked to, a handful of guys this year that didn't draw. So, I mean, that's, kind of getting a little bit more and more people every year getting excited and applying for them. But, there's not many opportunities where you can hunt, such long season dates, 5 week rifle, 6 week archery, and, most of the states open, depending on the unit, to go out and hunt and for whitetails pretty much statewide. So, if you're gonna hunt Montana, especially Eastern Montana, circle back around to Onyx Maps or, having a GPS that gives you landowner ship boundaries and stuff like that is almost a necessity hunting this stuff. The game warden stuff, they use the Onyx Maps as well, so you're using the same technology they are, so you can keep yourself out of trouble. And as long as there's a county road touching public land, be block or BLM or state land, or Forest Service, you can access all that. Then there's another really good program called the Block Management Program, and Montana set that up where they go to ranchers and get them to sign up in the block management. Essentially, they're allowing it. And some of the block managements, you have to go and actually talk to the rancher or their manager, and you'll get a permission slip from them. Then there's other ones where the sign-in box, where you just pull up, you sign in the sign-in box, take a map, and then you can hunt it. A lot of them are walk-in, some of them aren't, but that opens up, a lot more land in eastern Montana to public hunting.
Yeah, now some of those block management, you got to be careful because they only allow a certain amount of people at a time in there. So it's
That
like
is correct.
first come, first serve.
Yep. And so, like, August 15th, I believe, is the day that the sign-ins start, and you can get a hold of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, so you can get a block management book. And then they start taking reservations on August 15th. So, like you said, a lot of the really good ones, they'll limit them to two or three groups of hunters a day. And, 8 o'clock in the morning, they'll start taking calls. And, you got two or three phones dialing, your buddy's dialing, and hopefully you get in. You might not. But, so those are some kind of nice ones where they have better ranches that, they manage. And they don't just allow hundreds of hunters on there because they'd shoot it out. So the ranchers are pretty good about, we'll only allow X amount of guys on there. And something that's gotten really popular in the last is guys leasing ranches. You're starting to see that a
Robert,
lot.
you keep getting lower and lower. Like, I don't know if you're moving in and out away from your microphone or not, but sometimes you sound really clear and clean, and then other times sound like you're kind of away from it. I just wanted to catch it. It's just
Oh,
if
no
you happen
problem. Is
to be,
that better?
yeah, that's good.
Okay, yeah. So one of the things that you're starting to see happen a lot in eastern Montana is just hunters leasing ranches. The guys just get together with four or five buddies and they lease a ranch, and then that's kind of their private hunting. So the block management program, sometimes it can be tough to keep good ranches because either an outfitter will come in and lease it or a bunch of, private or hunters will come in and lease it. So you're starting to see that more in Montana. I know that's been going on in Kansas and that country for years, but you're really starting to see it happen in eastern Montana as well.
Well, I mean, I almost don't blame the guys. It's kind of like when you're you're tired of running into the Orange Army, so to speak. You got to kind of thinking outside the box a little bit and coming up with other ways to get out and have a good quality experience. So
Nope, I agree. You can't blame the ranchers either. I mean, if guys willing to pay them a ton of money to have access to hunt their ranch, ranching can be tough in certain years. And if you can lease your ranch and make some money, you cannot blame the rancher trying to better himself or his family.
yeah, no, not at all. One of the questions I had, and I kind of been asking this of everybody that I'm doing this, DIY or do it yourself, hunting. Sorry, my dog just came into my office. Come on, get out of here, buddy. Let me back up here. So one of the questions I've been asking everybody on this series that I'm doing right now is, are there, do you notice you haven't hunted in several many different states actually. Do you notice things something about deer in Montana that are different than, let's say, Nevada, or like behavioral differences, like they do things differently?
No, I really don't see a big difference. When you get a mule deer that's 5 to 9 years of age, he's smart and he's gonna be smart no matter what state you're in. I mean, the one thing that you might see different in Montana is if you're on a huge private ranch, or you drive by a huge private ranch, those deer are probably used to traffic and people more than, say, like a Nevada high country buck or a high country Colorado buck. I mean, they're used to the sounds and smells and the tractor and the diesel, and they're used to eating on agriculture. So, I mean, I think that you might have some deer in eastern Montana along the big private ranches that could be more willing to put up with people.
Got it. More tolerant.
Especially on, and ranches that don't get hunted. I mean, if you have a 100,000 acre ranch and an outfitter's guiding on it, and he's only taking 8 bucks a year, those bucks aren't used to being hunted. Compared to, an over-the-counter area that has tons of hunting pressure, like in Idaho, those bucks are smart. I mean, they get hunted hard all the time. So, I think you might get a little bit more, I guess, lackadaisical deer if it's on a huge private ranch in eastern Montana. You could pull a truck up and sit and look at him at 100 yards, and he's probably not going to care. But he knows that he's behind a sign, and you probably can't hunt him anyways. So.
Yeah, they get the memo. What are some of the things that you do when you're looking for a starting point? And this is, I'm talking Montana specifically. What are you looking for in your when you're looking for your hunting areas to hunt?
So for me, I'm always looking for public land that maybe doesn't have the best access, like around the Missouri Breaks. There's a lot of rough country in there. When I say rough, it's not thousands of feet tall mountains, but it's clay
Broke up.
breaks and buttes that are really broken. There's not very good road access in there, and there's miles in between. And a lot of guys can actually use a boat and hunt that country, from a boat. So I look at stuff like that that maybe is not going to get as much hunting pressure, where I can find an older age class buck. Or I look to huge managed private ranches that are leased that might have a little half section of BLM here that looks like good bedding area, off some fields that I might be able to hike to. And it seems kind of funny, there's been times in eastern Montana where I've literally parked my truck on a county road on BLM and hiked like a mile and a half straight out into the desert to churn and hike another mile and a half to hit a little, BLM buttes. And just because that's how the public land went. The public land was, I had to stay on the public land to get there. Whereas if I would have parked on the road, 2 miles down below, it might only been a half mile walk to those buttes. But because it was private right there, I had to make a big loop all the way around. So, like when I'm hunting some of that country, I leave my tracks on my GPS in case I did get stopped by a rancher or game warden and he tried to accuse me of being off on his land. I could just show him, look, here's my tracks from the time I left to the time I got back. I never set foot anywhere but on public land. And the ranchers are figuring out that, anything that's accessible is going to get hunted. And when the first Onyx chips really hit the market 7 or 8 years ago, I had one of the kind of first versions of Montana, and I felt like I ruled the world. I mean, I was out there hunting stuff that no one knew about. It was like the first version. Ranchers were threatening to, throw me in jail, and I'm like, this is public. But now everybody's got it. Everybody's got the same technology, and kind of everybody's back on a level playing field. But yeah, it was kind of nice the first couple of years. I got to definitely killed some great bucks in places that that you just they weren't posted, and I mean, guy'd have a 100,000 acre private ranch and you wouldn't realize there was 2 square miles of BLM, in some great area that you could access, because there was never a sign there, and if you had a map it was so hard to tell. But the GPS's have changed the name of the game in hunting eastern Montana for sure.
I mean, I feel like that's, a countrywide thing. Like when they first came out, like you said, the chips and whatnot, I was using them in Mont in excuse me, in Wyoming. And Wyoming's, I noticed something over there more so than anywhere else that, and I can't believe the state allows them to do this, is that they will buy, let's say, if you had a just call, let's call it 100 acres, just for simplicity's sake. So 10 acres, 10 acres wide, 10 acres long or tall, whatever, just a square block. They would buy every other acre and make it look literally like a checkerboard. And because of their laws, so basically they're paying for 50 acres and they're getting 100 acres.
Yeah, because it's illegal to corner jump in all these
Right,
states.
exactly. And so they would do this, and basically they're, hijacking all this public land.
Well, do you know where that checkerboarding came from? You know how that all started?
No.
So that was the railroad. When the railroads came west, they got every other section of land so many miles north and south of the railroad. So, like, if you look in Wyoming where you see those big checkerboarded areas, you can look and there's a railroad through there. So that all came from the railroads. The government, said, hey, bring the railroad through and we'll give you land and we'll give you every other section. All that checkerboarding you see through there was all given, through the railroads, way back in the day.
Yeah, it's terrible over, like, especially where I hunt. It's just, you it says 22% public or whatever, or 30% public, but really it's like 10% that you can actually access. It's,
Yeah, well,
but I've
I think
gotten pretty savvy about how to get around a lot of stuff, so
well, and
that's why
there's
I've
some
had
guys
some,
working on that, like backcountry hunters and anglers association out of Missoula. I think they're gonna start looking into that corner jumping thing because in reality, you're jumping from one state or to another state, and you know you're going, you know. So I mean, it's really they're touching. So I think guys like that are gonna, you know, kind of go after it. And I know that Randy Newberg has kind of, you know, talked about it. And I think between him and some other guys, I believe they're starting to look at some of those laws and possibly take those on in the near future.
Yeah, I hope they do, because I've encountered this a lot too, where there's a county, and it's hard to discern if it's actually a county road or not, but it's definitely a named road that's groomed and whatever, and a ranch will have it blocked off, or it'll be a big sign that says no public access, and that's the only road that gets to public land that is landlocked inside, you know, this private, but there'll be a big chunk of, you know, BLM. I run across it a lot, actually. South Dakota too, I had an issue with that. There was a giant piece of BLM and by the Cheyenne River breaks, and it's completely surrounded by private, and you can't get to it unless you got a, you know, parachute. And it's just like, there's got to be something put in place.
Well, you can always, you know, go to the county board, you know, there and pull up the county records and see if it's a county road or not. And then you can contact the, you know, the counties that maintain the roads. If it's a county maintained road, then, you know, more than likely it's a county road, and they can tell you that stuff, yes or no. And speaking of coming in on a parachute, there's a lot of guys that have flown into areas in Montana, you know, especially for elk, but you know, helicopters, planes, Super Cubs, you see guys starting to fly in more and more and more, you know, in big, you know, public land chunks, you know, that are available. So now you're starting to see that stuff,
Yeah,
you
matter of
know,
fact,
on
I
a federal
saw
basis.
on Randy Newberg did that.
Yeah. So, and then another thing is floating rivers. You know, like in Montana, you can legally float the river. And so you could float a river and you could go down and hit every BLM or state section off of that river. Just like it's a county road, you're able to navigate the river. You know, then you can hunt all that stuff off the river. A lot of guys don't realize that, but you float down, say, a big river system and you could open up a lot of hunting stuff. But again, you're going to need your GPS.
That's, and I mean, honestly, some of the stuff that you're talking about now, I mean, I don't really, I've done river stuff. I've never flown in anywhere, but just where I've had my success, most of my success is most guys will, you know, I'm not a backcountry guy. One, I don't have time for it. Two, I'm always in need of having some kind of cell phone service or whatever so I can run my other business. While I'm away. But so I've kind of made it, I'm looking for those spots that are kind of entrapped, you know, in these or really hard to access. Like, matter of fact, going back to Wyoming, one of the spots where I've killed most of the antelope on public land, it's there's literally from the road that you drive on, I could walk 300 yards across private and be on public. But in order to access this public, you have to take a 2.5 mile hike in this little strip to like circumvent it. But then you get this, you know, 2 square miles of public land entrapped in all this private, and it hunts like private because nobody can get to it. Not nobody. You can't get. It's not that you can't get to it. It's nobody wants to hike 2.5 miles. You know, it's just not. It's not something that most people will do. And I felt like that has been a game changer for me over the last like 10 years or so that I've been doing stuff like that. And a lot of it came about from hunting back east where there's freaking no public land at all. And you really got to get creative to hunt, you know, what little pieces of public land there are. Yeah, I think guys should not be overlooking stuff like that.
No, that's exactly what I just said a few minutes ago, how I talked about hiking 2 miles out in the desert and another 2 miles to hit a section. That is exactly how we hunt eastern Montana. It's like you look where a little state touches a BLM, that might touch another state, that gets you to a big BLM section. And when the land rush happened, any land that was not essentially farmable became BLM. And that's where most of the BLM sections in western Montana came from, is it was area that was not farmable. So it didn't get homesteaded.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that's all I got for you, man. I think we covered most of it. And I think anybody that would want to try their hand in Montana, it's I think it's a great state, as you noted. It's got a lot of opportunity. And, you know, get out there and try it out. You want to hunt a different state? There you go. Don't have to wait 10 years to get drawn.
No, super high success. You know, you can buy a preference point this summer. It'll almost guarantee you a tag next year. And then it opens up tons of country. So, and then if you decide you don't want it, you can always turn the tag back in, get an 80% mm-hmm. refund. So, you know, it's hard for me not to recommend Montana for someone who's looking for a fun hunt. If you're looking for 190 plus mule deer, Montana's not your state. But if you're looking for fun hunts, rut and bucks, you know, nice 24, 26 inch 4 points, it's hard to have a bad hunt in Montana if you're willing to get off the road and hike a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool, man. Have you drawn any good tags this year?
So far, I have not drawn a good tag as of we speak. I did buy my unlimited bighorn sheep tag here in Montana. So I will be hunting the unlimiteds again for sheep. And then my 12-year-old boy Connor drew a pretty darn good elk tag here in Montana. So if it all goes right, we should be able to get him to kill his first nice 6-point bull. So lots of draws left. They're still coming down the pipe. So I'm not too worried, because I know I'll end up with a good pile of good tags like I always do. And if I don't, I'll end up hunting a bunch of over-counter states like Oregon and Idaho and, you know, just fill my season up that way. No matter what, I'm going to be on a lot of hunts. So the draws help out, but you know, there's still tons of opportunity for over-the-counter stuff that you can still do. So I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm almost exclusively over-the-counter this year.
Nice.
I haven't drawn a single tag yet.
Yeah, there's still a lot of stuff left, though.
Yeah, no, there is. And I'm probably not even going to draw a deer tag here in Arizona either. Because I'm going to kind of shoot for the stars here for the next couple of years and build some points up again.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure I'll still have a great season. I do a lot of OTC stuff anyway, but I've had a good run the last 3-4 years of getting some good, I had a lot of points, which I've now used already, you know, drawing tags in the last few years. So we'll see. Yeah.
Well, awesome, man. Well, good luck in the rest of the draws coming up.
Yeah, likewise. Where can listeners find out more about Hunting Fool? So
listeners can go to huntfool.com and check out all of our information there. And if you're a member, you can pick up the phone, call in, talk to me, Garth Jensen, Isaiah, Stan, you know, Austin or Jared, any of us. We can answer any of your questions. You know, so Hunt and Fool is a great place. Hunt and Fool is also on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow it there. If you want to follow me personally and just kind of see the hunts that I do every year and kind of keep up with me and my boys and what we're killing and what we're hunting in the different states, you can always follow me personally on Instagram. And it's just Robert_Hanneman. And that's probably the best way to keep up with me. And if you got a question directly for me about something, you can always hit me up on Instagram. And that's probably the best place to follow me personally.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. And I'm sure I will talk with you soon.
All right, buddy. That sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
You too.